Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, y'all. We back. It's Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
This is the one and only, your girl, Rigel.
Man, Hotep, Habarigani, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, back for another week, y'all, to add some stimulating conversation. This Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. And coming off of really some great episodes we done had these past few weeks, so we just finna continue the momentum, keep it going. This is our monthly open discussion conversation for the family. So this here, you know, as always, Collective Minds is not a spectator sport, but especially for this show, we want the family to call up and let us know what's on your mind. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get started in the dialogue and get, you know, get going with the topics, how was y'all week, Roger and Brother Mufasa? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Yeah, my week was great. My week was great, like always. It's a matter of perception, everybody. So it ain't like I don't run into obstacles, but it's a matter of perception. I look at my obstacles as opportunities for change. So I just want to throw that out there. But no big announcement. Just want to send a congratulations to the Isley Brothers, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame here in St. Louis. Wednesday.
That's right.
It was great, well deserved. So we'd like to just give a shout out to the Isley Brothers and the Walk of Fame, actually the St. Louis Walk of Fame, Joe Edwards, who people here in St. Louis, well, I guess a lot of people may know who Mr. Edwards is, but I'd like to say thanks to everybody. It was great. Those will come out, and again, congratulations to the Isley Brothers, well deserved, and it's their 60th anniversary.
Yes, indeed. And you had mentioned too, Raju, that the Isley Brothers do not have a Hollywood Walk of Fame yet. Is that correct?
Surprisingly, no. You know, I hate to even
crazy.
Say that. Crazy.
Right.
Crazy. I don't get it. But they do not. They do not. I may need to make some phone calls about that. And an unsung. They even need an unsung as well. I may try to make some phone calls about that because definitely
right.
I don't understand. They have their catalog is the most sampled of all.
I mean,
time.
It's legendary. Right. It's legendary.
Yeah. Their catalog has been is the most sampled of all songs around.
Right.
It is what it is. Soon as them brothers pass, then they want to give them all their accolades. They give them all their flowers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They can give them to them while they're here. Exactly. Yep. That is correct. All right. My brother Mufasa, do you have any announcements for the family? How was your week, brother?
Facts. You know, good week. The only announcement I'm going to make is I want to say, rest in power to Brother Abdul Rahman Muhammad. He was one of the elders in the Nation of Islam. If you don't know him, Google him up. Check him out. Brother Abdul Rahman Muhammad. Powerful, powerful elder. He's been in the Nation for quite some time. You know, he walked with the masters, talking about Mr. Louis Farrakhan, all the way back to Elijah Muhammad. So rest in power to him. He made his transcendence, and that's about it, y'all. That's about it on my announcement. Some other things I want to say. I forget. I got to say a little bit. I went to see.
Go ahead.
That movie. I went to see that movie.
Endgame.
No, I'm just playing. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Wait. Did you see it or not?
I'm just meddling.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about that movie though. We're gonna give it time, just like we did Black Panther. It made close to $1 billion. Am I right? Close to $1 billion this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
But you did see it though,
I'm
right?
I'm just thinking about the money. No, I'm gonna
you
go
did
see it
though,
weekend.
Right?
I'm gonna go see it next weekend.
Right, you seen it, right? We talking about the Avengers Endgame for those that don't know.
I might not even go.
Yeah.
And why you got to see it? Hello, Roger.
She didn't pass off.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. I didn't realize you asked me that. I did. I'll see it again.
You know. Right, just briefly, what did you think? We're talking about the Avengers Endgame. What did you think about the movie? Without giving any spoilers, of course.
Right. I actually liked it. You know, I liked it. It's not hard for me to like because I like those movies, you know. It's easy for me to like it. I didn't have a problem with it at all. I'll see it again. And I think it's a good movie. I recommend it. It's long. I do think. I think in the beginning it is long. Now, if I had my my way, I may have just changed a few little things. But I think what they did, you know, I can live with it.
Okay. All right. That's how we roll.
You should leave it alone. If you leave it the way it is, that's why I'm worried about it. The perfect last one was perfect. Snap of the fingers, end of the half the universe, peace upon earth. You know, I don't know what else they could do to the movie. They're going to probably mess it up, but we'll talk about it.
I will say this. For those who saw the last one, the Infinity Stones, if you was disappointed in the ending, I do think they redeemed themselves in this last one here. So just hold tight if you haven't seen.
Okay. All right. That's how we roll.
It's long.
Right. Yes, indeed. All right, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev, with Rigel Stahl and a Brother Mufasa. And we are having an open discussion today. We're just talking about what's up on your mind. Now, I just want to, you know, I don't have any announcements, and I also had a great week, beautiful week. But I want to follow up on our show from last week because we had our brother Brandon Bosley on the show, who's the Third Ward Alderman, and we were talking about is the National Guard, you know, a viable solution to crime in St. Louis? And, you know, if anybody that listened to the show, it was a great show. It went all the way to the end. You know, Rigel Stahl had mentioned a part two, which, you know, is still on the table. But I do want to follow up and share some things that we didn't have time to get to on that show. And since that show, there was a town hall meeting that our brother Brandon Bosley was in where he basically kind of doubled down and stuck with the whole National Guard thing, saying that we need the National Guard. And from the last show, you know, I totally disagree with that because I felt like it would bring, you know, it would do more damage than good at this point. You know, and if it's a situation where we feel like as a community that we can handle these problems and deal with them, I feel like then we should be the ones that are dealing with them. Anytime we've had outside forces come into the community and try to police and do things when they don't really have a relationship with the community, we see how that ends up. You know, the black community and the police, that relationship has been rocky from the beginning, you know, and bringing in the National Guard, which is a branch, I believe, of the military, you know, I just don't think that's a wise idea. And I think it would do more harm than good, again. And I brought out all the stats. If anybody did listen to that show, go back in the archives, listen to the show last week. I brought out the stats on how crime is actually down, violent crime and also murders are down. So I'm saying, you know, we should look at that. We should focus on the positive. We should be trying to build with the community that wants to build and it's on the right page. And anybody who's not, we need to figure out a way to ostracize those people, punish them, and keep them away from the rest of us who are trying to be on code and trying to progress. So that's kind of why I wanted to, you know, start up. I don't know if y'all want to respond because I had a lot to say that show and we didn't have time to get to it. So I just wanted to put that out there. It wasn't to, you know, come at the brother, Brandon. It wasn't to come at him like that, but it was just to share some insight on how, you know, we've been down this road before when it comes to talking about crime in black areas or urban areas or in the city. We've been down this road before. And if we keep coming with the same solutions, we'll be having this same conversation in 50 years, right? Or our kids will be having this same conversation. That's why I'm saying now is the time for us to get off the, you know, the whole black-on-black crime thing because crime, again, is relative to where you stay. The crime is a thing about proximity. People commit crimes to where they're close to. And because we live in a segregated society, you have black-on-black crime, you have white-on-white crime for the most part. So that's what we got to come to the realization of and address crime as a societal problem, not just the black community, because we don't have a monopoly on crime. Everybody commits crime. 87% of white people kill other white people. You know, these are the stats. So we got to change the narrative as we move forward, as we approach 2020, because, like I say, 2020, everybody going to have clear vision by 2020. And if you, so you better get your glasses and your specs ready now. Get your eye checkups and all that. Because by 2020, if you don't know or you can't see by then, you know, there may not be any hope. So I'm going to leave it right there, y'all.
It is.
I wanted to follow up from last week. I don't know if y'all want to respond or touch on another topic. It's on y'all. I'm going to let y'all have a flow.
Now you correct me if I'm wrong, Mufasa. You disagree with that? Do you think that we should have the National Guard called in? Do you think that's a good method, Mufasa? I'm only asking you because I thought you were in agreement with that. And if you are, I wanted to kind of just hear your perspective as far as why.
No, my perspective was I understood why the alderman would say that, because that comes out of frustration. That's what I was commenting on last week. That he's a young, we gotta look at this, a young alderman, you know, young black man. He's seeing, you know, these things happening in his community, amongst his people. And when you don't see enough community involvement, enough police involvement, and you got a big heart, it can cause you to get frustrated. And I believe, you know, let's just say, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe he spoke out of frustration because he, at this point, he don't know what else to do. That's what I believe. You know, so that's why he was like, something got to be done. It was an incident down there in his ward where you know, some kids was racing, some young I won't call them kids, some young adults was racing down the street and lost control of their car. They ended up hitting an innocent bystander on the bus stop, killed him. And as they was down there interviewing him about that, some other young kids come by as he's getting interviewed, and they laughing and throwing up gang signs in the background. And, you know, he was trying to tell them then, like, come on, y'all. I mean, somebody just lost their life, and y'all out here goofing around and playing around and stuff. So I think it just was compiling upon him, seeing all these different things happening in his community and not enough being done. Also, he touched on how an incident happened where a guy was blocked in the alley. And, you know, I guess he get out to tell the person who was blocking the alley, hey, can I get back? And he couldn't get through. They had an altercation, and the man ended up shooting him over. And, you know, nobody want to hear about stories like that, you know. So
when you go through all these different incidents, let me wrap it up, when you go through stuff
like that, amongst all the other, you know, crimes that happen in that area, it frustrates you. And so I really believe he just was speaking out of frustration. I could be wrong, but that's what I think he was just saying. No, I don't believe that the National
Guard. It is what it is.
I do believe this, though. I do believe the community needs to get a hold of what's going on because it's our community. Whatever community you live in, that's where you live. You need to get a handle on your community. And the residents in that community should be able to come together and come up with solutions to make that community peaceful. I don't see a problem with that. So before it escalates to where you got to have a quote-unquote National Guard come in, you will hope that the community will be able to handle it themselves. So, you know, that's where I'm at on that.
Right. Now, just a quick response, because the incident with the guy blocking the parking lot, it was put out there as if they was put out there like it was just they was fighting over the parking spot because he wouldn't move. But when Brandon came on the show, Brandon Bosley, the alderman, came on the show, he even said he got some of the backstory to what happened, meaning they could have possibly had an altercation earlier that day. See, it wasn't just black people. See, because it makes it seem like black people just out here can't control themselves and, oh, you blocking me, I'm going to shoot you. Are you blocking me? I can't get out. We fighting and I'm going to shoot you. No, it wasn't like that. These people had some prior interactions, which Brandon admitted. He got some of the backstory to what happened. So it wasn't just this random incident where somebody was being blocked and they got shot over a parking spot. No, there was more to this story. You see?
Yeah, but even with that being said, though.
I agree, but we don't know what them. We don't know what type of business dealings or what they had going on prior to that. But I agree, it probably wasn't worth the life. But it wasn't as simple as somebody blocking somebody from leaving and they shot them. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It wasn't like.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, simple, complicated. That's one incident that happened, and there's been several others that's happened. And we just talking about his war, but we can expand out of his ward and talk about incidents of violence that happens. And, you know, after a while, yeah, that starts to weigh on people. You know, people want to be able to, you know, go on strolls down their street, want to be able to sit out on their porch and not have to worry about stuff like that. You know, so.
Right, I get it. I get it.
I don't really believe he was wanting the National Guard to come in, you know, with some malicious intent to, like, kick off, you know, people being put in FEMA camps and stuff like that. I really think the brother just frustrated with the crime that's going on in his community. And he ain't seeing, you know, the community come together. He definitely ain't seeing the police in an act with the community to help out with the situation. So I think it was just out of frustration. Like, he like, something needs to be done. And so him throwing that out there kind of gives out the signal, like, look, we got to do something here. Something got to be done.
Right.
I mean, people don't want
to
keep living like this unless you go move.
That is true. And I understand that. But this my thing. This is why we got to be careful. We don't want our quote-unquote love for black people and love for the community to turn into anti-black hate. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a thing where, okay, there is a violent element in some of these communities, and we know where this comes from. Again, we know the situation, how they got into the situation, who did the redlining, who funneled these people into these communities. We got the history, and the information is out there for anybody who wants to know how these communities got the way they are. So my thing is, I understand your love for the people, but you don't want that to turn into anti-blackness, like, oh, they just can't get right, and it's looking bad on us and looking bad on the community. No, that's a small element that does and should not represent black people, period. And we can't fall into the tree because
that,
the first thing, but this is what I'm saying, the first thing some white people might say if an unarmed black person gets shot, the first thing they go bring up is, what about black-on-black crime? Y'all killing each other. Y'all do this. Y'all violent towards each other. Which, no, that has nothing to do with it. So we can't give them that ammunition and fall for the same rhetoric and stuff that they say about us, because we know that's not the full community. And crime, you know, black-on-black crime, quote-unquote, which I hate that term, but black-on-black crime has nothing to do with the police executing an unarmed person, period. So you can't bring that up. You know what I'm saying?
But I didn't take it that way. I didn't take it that he was saying that he was putting like this big sore thumb on the quote unquote black community. That's not how I took it. Because there are issues in that community. There's a lot of violence in that community, and something needs to be done. Now, I didn't take it that it was self hating. All these, you know, black people down here wilding out. That's not how I took it. I took it as him as a black person in his ward. He wants to live, and the good citizens in his community, he wants them to be able to live a better quality of life. That's how I took it. So in order to live a better quality of life, some things need to be cleaned up. You know, it's scourge that's there in that area that needs to be cleaned up. And if the police ain't handling it, and if the community apparently can't handle it, so his frustration is saying, well, shoot, something got to be done. Just like the incident that happened prior to that where a young man got shot down there and had to lay in the street for hours before the police even responded. They had to keep calling over and over again to get the police to finally come in and remove the body out the street. I mean, that's totally unacceptable. So there's things going on in his area that he like, shoot, you know, this stuff needs to be cleaned up. So I didn't take it as you just saying, we got to get all these black people out of here because they all ain't no good. Get the National Guard in here, lock them all up, move white folks in. I didn't hear none of that. I didn't get that.
Right.
I just got
right.
A young black
brother is having
issues with his community and he wanted cleaned up. That's how I took it.
Right, but what I'm saying is when you put those things out there, that's the perception. Whether you as an individual believe that or not,
my perception.
Someone reading the headline.
But I thought he did allude to that, though. I thought he did allude to that. I can be wrong, but because he was saying something like, we need to get ourselves together, something like that. He alluded to that. I understand what you're saying, Mufasa, because I, for one, can recognize both sides of this, you know. So I understand. But I think he did allude to that and saying that because it's like, okay, he did say that we can do this ourselves and all that. So why wouldn't his first, or at least before he even go to the enemy, why wouldn't he say, okay, let me try to contact the nation? You know, he said he has worked better family life, But why wouldn't he try to work with other black organizations to try to come in, like the Nation, et cetera, to try to talk to the young black men in his ward versus just
Thank
bypassing
you. Those are real solutions.
Within our,
well, remember,
you know, the – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick, remember, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but I do have to continue to say that this is a young man, and either A, who's to say he did not know, didn't reach out to those organizations, or B, maybe he did reach out and just didn't get a big enough response that he felt was needed. It could have been one of the two. You know,
well,
but I hate to put words in his mouth because he's not here to say what it.
Well, I'm confident.
Remember, the brother called in
to say that. I'm confident enough to say that he didn't reach out to the Nation because when it was brought up in the conversation, he didn't see it. He did acknowledge that he did reach out to Better Family Life.
Right. Remember,
you know,
the brother from the Nation called in and he asked him about it. I'm sorry, Tanya. I'm sorry, Roger. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. But he is young, like Mufasa said. He is young, so maybe
he's,
we all need guidance. You know, nobody is old enough where they don't need guidance anymore. So perhaps instead of doing that, maybe somebody can pull him to the side and say, hey, let's try this. At least maybe give him another alternative to, you know, maybe do a town hall meeting on his own and just include maybe like the Nation along with Better Family Life and along with other organizations like Demetrius Johnson's Foundation. It's different organizations out here. I can't say how the outcome will be, you know. I can't say, but I'm thinking it's worth a try only because to call in the National Guard, that's so drastic of a measure. So it's like at least, we don't know what the outcome will be, but at least try it, you know, because at least we know they're not going to come in slaughtering and, you know, and creating a long-term, you know, history. I mean, you know, just something bad for these guys, throwing them in jail, giving them criminal records and things like that, or shooting them and killing them is really the biggest concern, just shooting them and killing them. And like I said before, you guys, if you had killed and shot Malcolm X before he turned 30, you know, he wouldn't have been who he was. If we had, you know, killed a lot of other people that turned out, that end up turning their life around. So we would like to at least try to give our young black community an opportunity to change themselves if they are doing wrong things. You know, we want to give them an opportunity because they could be somebody that could eventually help our grandkids, you know.
Facts.
So I don't want to just say they're treat them like they waste and just, you know, because the National Guard will potentially 9 times out of 10 do that first. Because we already know, at least I feel like they're not for us at all. You know?
Right,
they're for America,
so
they're for, you know.
Go back to the solutions then. Since he brought up National Guard, and we don't like that, let's go over again. What should we do instead of bringing in the National Guard?
I just offered one solution. I just offered one solution.
And which was
somebody can put him to the side, and he can do a town hall meeting. I'm going to repeat everything. He can either do a town hall meeting or just a meeting with the Nation and also with Better Family Life, the Demetrius Johnson Foundation, and other black organizations, and do a meeting with them. The same conversation he's going to have with the National Guard, he can have with them and try to work out a solution together amongst the group of that meeting at that time. Like I said, I don't know what the outcome will be, but I think it's worth a try, at least to start there, you know.
I agree.
So that's one solution.
Right.
You know,
right,
and we need to learn how to unite anyway. You know, if everybody, all these organizations, everybody say, even if you're not in an organization, everybody always talk about how we need to unite and we need. Well, hey, let's call a bluff. At least do that.
Right, right.
Like I said, you can't say how it would turn out, but if we don't ever do it, we'll never know how it would turn out.
Right, right. And then it's not just, you know, I'm glad you brought up solutions too, Brother Mufasa, but it's not just one magical solution. And like I was saying on the show is we're never going to get crime to zero in a black community. So that's a reality we have to face. Yes, we would like it to be to zero. We would like no murders, but in America, in this society, in the world, that's just not a reality. So what are
we really
looking for?
But let's keep it real. We can do better. But let's not say that we can't do better. Now,
yeah,
come on. Let's keep it real.
No.
That's the only reason why
we
saying
better,
have the meeting, because we know we can
right,
do better.
Right. So what I'm asking is, what does better look like? Do we get murders? Okay, on a yearly basis, if there's, let's say, 200 murders in St. Louis City, what is doing better? 100? 50? You see what I'm saying? And right now, like I pointed out on the show, we're on pace to have 111 murders for the year. Now, that's what we're on pace for. Not saying it's going to be there. It could be less. It could be more. But we're on pace for that amount of murders per year. So
what does
that
look like to y'all?
For me,
right.
For me, like I say, I approach this as a societal problem and not just black people killing black people. I look at America has too many guns, and the way society, because that's what I was trying to say, it's a lot of different nuances in there, because we got to think about it. In school, we're taught about war. America doesn't always resolve its conflicts diplomatically. They don't always talk to other nations. They go in and go for the kill. We parade around war heroes. We parade around fighting. We idolize mobsters and things like that. That's why I even reject that killing and all that stuff is black culture, quote unquote, and we put it in our music. Well, it's in a lot of movies. What do we watch in movies? They fight, they kill, they shoot. You know what I'm saying? This is part of American society. That's what I'm saying. So we're taught this early on. And what I was trying to tell Brandon, a lot of these situations are simple conflict resolution. So it's not something that your alderman can fix. It's not something that your mayor can fix or the president. These are things that are taught in the home. These are things that are taught by parents to their kids and taught in the schools. As far as how to resolve conflicts, how do you negotiate, how do you, you know, work out things, conflict resolution without resorting to violence. You see what I'm saying? So these are things that the whole society have to learn in order to not kill each other over some change or, you know, somebody ego or somebody getting mad or things like that. Like, these are just things we're going to have to communicate through, I don't know, through like osmosis or telepathy, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that just communicated through the household. And when you have a strong culture, those are things that are taught through the culture. You know what I'm saying? But there's not just one simple solution. It's not, because we're just the environment that we're in, with lack of opportunities, lack of resources, people hungry, people poor, people watching a lot of TV. That is going to breed the type of behavior that causes people to rob, steal, kill for material and things that they feel like they need or want. You see what I'm saying? So it's a whole lot of things that go into how people are behaving and why they're committing these type of crimes. You know, so it's just a lot to it, and it's not just one simple solution. So to call the National Guard, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, the National Guard, why would we call the very people who got us in the situation to where we're fighting amongst each other, where they call it crabs in a bucket? We're going to call on the people who created the problem. Now we go call them to be the solution. No, I don't agree with that. I think if anything, they need to stay out the way. And we're smart. I believe the community is smart enough and willing and able enough with the right amount of resources and guidance, where we can come up with solutions to these problems ourselves without having to go to the people who put us in this very situation. You see?
And what better looks like to me is, because I do agree with what Brother Kevin said, it's not just black culture. It is, to me, it's a world. You know, but America has bigger issues too, but
right.
No homelessness. People dying of starvation. Why? We have enough food.
Right.
Why
this
are people
is true.
Homeless? We have enough resources where people shouldn't be homeless. So that's better. When, just like Brother Kevin said, everybody, we not accountable for everybody and everything. So just like I was trying to say before, and I hope my point wasn't missed when I tried to give the analogy about if I'm a painter and I teach you how to paint and you obey, you're a painter too. So we learn this is what America was built off of, violence.
Right.
So,
right, facts.
And we unfortunately, we are Americans. We here. You know, this
right,
they,
right.
For God's sake, they stole us.
Right.
You know, they killed us. So it's like we learned a lot of this, you know, it's for survival purposes. They stole
right.
us. And then now we have to try to survive. These are survival techniques, not condoning it. Yeah, we need to find a better way, and we can. But, you know,
right.
it's we just have to figure out a way to do it. But what better looks like to me is that we shouldn't have homeless people on these streets. That people that that went to the army is homeless. We shouldn't even
crazy,
have that.
Man.
People don't have health coverage insurance. You have people that can't even go out and go to the doctor when they're sick. Why? Why can't we learn to love each other and one another? It's enough resources for us. People, society, humanity should not be dying by the wayside because they don't have health insurance, they don't have food, they don't have places to stay. That is crazy. So better to me, I think those things need to be changed.
Right.
So better to me looks like this. And I'm going to go with some of the past and some of the future. I'm going to talk about the past that I had to live. Better to me looks like
it is what it is.
As a student of Beaumont High School, I can feel just as safe and not have to worry about getting stomped to death or shot to death. And I can feel safe going to Beaumont High School the same way I would feel safe going to Hazelwood Central back in the day.
Right.
The same way my kids, and I'm talking about black kids, because black kids live more than just in North St. Louis. The same
right.
way black kids can be comfortable going to school in South County, then the kids in North St. Louis should feel just as safe. That's what better looks like to me when the dynamics of both of places are the same. That's when it'll be better to me.
I agree with that. That's perfect. And that's correct. We should not be in an environment, especially when it comes to learning.
That's where the homeless and come from.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
when it comes to learning, exactly. When it comes to learning in school and kids, the last thing on your mind is, oh, I got to fight today. Oh, I need to take a stride. I need to take a gun. I need to do this. I need to watch my back. You know, that's the last thing that should be.
My mama smoking crack.
My mama smoking crack.
My mama probably.
Right. We about to get put out of our house.
I got to go to school.
You about to get put out.
Our life's about to get cut off. Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. The stuff
that we're
fighting for, that we lack, should not be happening around the world.
Facts. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Well,
wait, man, let me say this real quick. When you say around the world, and I do agree with that.
I know you don't say nothing about the round world.
But we're talking about in a particular area. Because
facts.
I can live one way in one area, You know, I'm in another area, and we're talking about St. Louis, and the dynamics are totally different. So I'm just, yeah, I just do want to just bring it in a little bit instead of saying the word.
Right, and the reason why I want to bring it out, I agree with that, but the reason that I brought it out is because I think you got to get a big scope on it. You got to see, you got to go out, you got to get the bird's eye view to be able to figure out what the real issue is. What's the saying? You can't see the forest for the tree. So if we don't take it out, it's hard to recognize the other issues. We so close, and we so close to the tree, we can't see the forest.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right, y'all. Well, any last thoughts on that? If you're just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are having an open discussion today. You can give us a call. You know, whatever's on your mind. The number here is 929-477-1697. And we'll get to the calls here in just 1 second. But I do want to get my host on this story that I sent him about the principal in Houston who is banning parents from coming to school in pajamas, rollers, scarves, a certain type of spandex, you know, roll. You know, she banning the parents from dropping off their kids in I guess, you know, particular bonnets, rollers, all this different attire. So this is in Houston. So, yeah, I just want to hear, you know, what you guys think about that.
And then we can move on to the call. You want to finish on?
Yeah, go ahead, Mufasa.
You already started.
Yeah, I applaud her. I applaud her because, you know what I'm saying? All that type of mess of how you carry yourself, you know, can bring certain things to you. I mean, you ain't got to come up there looking a mess. Come on, have some respect for yourself.
It is,
you know,
what it is.
You got no respect for yourself. Your kids ain't going to have no respect for themselves. So I'm totally in agree with that. Clean it up. Hey, that's why the most honorable Elijah Muhammad put the brothers in the suits and bow ties. That's why he put the brothers out there like that. That's why he had the women cover themselves to clean them up. It's about cleaning yourself up. You know? But it ain't cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is godliness.
Okay. All right, Elijah, what you think about that story?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, you know. I don't have a problem with that at all. Now, what do they mean by ban, though?
Okay.
I mean, as a parent, say if I come up there and I have some leggings on or something, like they's like, no, your child can't even come either, or like what's the extent of the banding?
Now, that I don't, you know? That's the thing, see, and that's my thing.
Okay.
So I agree with my brother Mufasa. He said he's right. You know, it's about presenting yourself. My problem is, this is my problem. Like Rigel said, what do you mean by banning? Like, because you can have an opinion, and like I say, I lean more towards my brother Mufasa's opinion on this. It's the way you carry yourself and come up to the school, but we are talking about parents just dropping their kids off at school. So I don't want to get into the situation where you're criminalizing these parents for bringing their kids to school.
Yeah.
You know, they could be working overnight. They could be doing a lot of things.
That's what I want to find out.
It could be a lot of things going
like,
on, but you don't want to criminalize these people. And you could possibly hurt the children by saying they can't come to school or whatever. I don't think we should get into that. And because it's going to mostly affect, let's keep it real, it's going to affect mostly black parents. Because we know, I mean, white parents come to school looking any kind of way.
It is what it is.
You dig what I'm saying? So we don't want to get
into
that.
I'm not going to put that label on
them.
We can clean
now,
up.
If
the white folks can come there, clean dang on it, we can come clean. I ain't going to put that label on us that just because we black, we got ones that had to come to school trifling. No.
What I'm telling you, they come to school trifling too, but it's not going to be enforced on them. That's my concern. They come to school looking a hot mess with tattoos, piercings, and drugged up too, but it's not going to be enforced on them. So that's my issue with it.
Why you don't think that?
I don't want
to
criminalize
folks.
On
them?
No.
Why you don't think it's going to be enforced on them?
The same way a lot of laws are not enforced on them. There's a lot of laws that they don't get enforced like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't read the article. But if it's what the things that Brother Kevin laid out as far as the stretch pants is dual community, because women in general wear stretch pants and leggings.
Right.
White,
they were
black,
saying like see through stretch pants or something. Yeah, the article said like see through stretch pants or something like that.
I agree. You shouldn't have anything see through on. As far as when it comes to like bonnets,
rollers.
Now, we know that the texture of the black women and white women hair is different. So our maintenance is different than white women.
Right.
They don't necessarily need to wear bonnets. And not saying they should just wear it, I don't even wear a bonnet. But I know why black women don't wear bonnets. I know why black women wear bonnets. Our hair texture is just different. But I do think that
they should not be
allowed. Yeah, the hair texture.
What about pajamas?
Yeah,
what about pajamas, Raj? What about pajamas? If they're dropping the kid off in pajamas.
I think if you're just dropping the kid off and you're not coming inside the school, I don't think it should matter. I do think if you do come inside the school to talk to a principal, teacher, something like that, you need to not have on pajamas. You should not have on rollers and bonnets and all. Face should be washed. All that. Definitely. Just like if you go on to a job, you shouldn't go inside the school with those types of things on, because you got granted you may work, but
you go to a job interview like this.
But you dropping your kids
like
off at school, though.
Right, if you're just dropping them off and you're not coming inside the school, you don't have no interaction with the staff, the students, the teachers, I don't see that should be a problem. But if you do need to go inside the school to pay a lunch, pay lunch or talk to the school, the principal or the council or something like that, you definitely should not have rollers in your hair and bonnets and pajamas
on.
Come
up there like you got some change.
Right, but look, I agree, but I think we're taking a personal opinion, or the principal is taking a personal opinion and wanted to make it some type of rule or law. And I disagree with that, because I agree with what y'all saying, but what is the harm, really, if someone's come up there and they just dropping off their kid? Is that really going to affect?
Well, we already said if they're going
overall
inside the school and they have to talk to somebody.
Right, but what is that affecting? That's a personal opinion, though.
If a parent comes inside the school that's dressed inappropriately, and my child is there and sees it,
that
affects my child.
That's
subtle.
Wait, how so?
It's easily because she's seen it.
Nice.
She's seen it.
Yeah, they're supposed to look
school
up to the parent.
It's subtle. It could be a subtle thing. She may not. Of course, she's a kid, so she ain't gonna go in there now and do it. But when she get older, because she already seen the image, she may think, let me just run up in there. She'll be okay. It'll make her probably
down to do it.
Okay with presenting herself that way. So that's an issue. I don't think it should go down like that, though. But working or not,
Have some respect.
Yeah, you gotta. You got to push
that's
through
the thing.
If you work. You
right.
got to push
I
through.
Agree. I agree.
Yeah, that's
agree.
Disrespect. Come on, man.
Yeah, that can be very subtle. It doesn't have to happen immediate, but you know, over time, if it's not checked over time, and you constantly saying, you know, some because not every mother would do it, but you know, over time and throughout your school year, you will see some parent or somebody doing it here and there throughout the time. So
right,
now you're
right.
faced with the understanding in your head, okay, I can do it if I choose to. It's okay if I choose to.
Mm-hmm.
So they may choose to, you know, but if
right.
they check and they don't see it, that, you know, that decision may not really come into place. They just may rather just not do it. They don't see it.
Right,
and
I'm gonna be honest.
Somebody walking around with some see-through pants on and all this stuff, anyway.
Right. I agree, and I'm gonna be honest though. When I, you know, when I take my kids to school some mornings, there may be a parent or two that may come in some pajamas and you know, some house shoes and got on a coat or something.
House shoes.
Yeah, I didn't see some house shoes. I didn't see some house shoes. But like I say, my thing is, I agree with what y'all saying, but. Are we making – because we got to be careful about our personal preferences versus do we want to just put this out for everybody to follow? You know what I'm saying? That's my thing.
Well,
I don't want it to be criminalized, but I get what y'all are saying. I definitely understand.
Let's check with the call. Let's bring the callers in on this. See what our callers
got
to say.
Let's go.
Okay. So with area code – 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? And you told 319-572. You have a question or a comment?
No, just listening.
All right,
okay.
All right. Appreciate you.
Thank you, caller. Okay. That's a good one. We'll go to another caller. Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, this is a Missouri National Guard calling.
Run, everybody.
Oh,
for the hills.
Run.
Hide your children.
You know why it's best to use the Missouri National Guard? It's because you're already paying for them. That's why. And plus, they already covered liability-wise. There's an incident going on in Normandy Middle School. Barbara Sharp was the principal. She went on to become the principal over at Vashon. I talked to Barbara. I said, I got a solution. So I took Anthony Shaheed. You know him?
Yeah, we had him on the show before. We had him on
and
the show.
And I took Juma, Brother Juma up there, and they sat down and talked with him. Well, they wanted to get paid a fee for doing what they wanted to do, which I have no problem with. That's between them and the conversation with the school district. But eventually it did not work out. But if you take the Nation of Islam into a neighborhood and somebody get hurt, who's going to be responsible for the liability? You don't have
to
worry about that with the National Guard.
Right, but the thing is, my thinking is with the Nation that it would prevent a lot of that stuff because we know how black people act when the Nation's around. Black people start to straighten up. You don't see a lot of riffraff. There's a certain amount of respect that comes with the Nation. So even seeing the Nation, you know, out like that would prevent a lot of stuff like Brandon Bosley was saying the National Guard would prevent it. I think the Nation would also have that same effect. Because we respect the Nation as, you know, black people, as a community.
Well, yeah, some people, well, if that's what people want to do, I don't have no problem. See, I don't go in those areas no more than I have to because it's dangerous.
Right.
And
right.
You can't even say it's not. Heck, I assistant coach for Carnahan High School. We had a baseball game there at Diamond Number 1 in Fairgrounds Park where the Pink House is. And some young black kids, the young people, was gathered over on the other side, you got the green area that runs down the middle of the street, those two streets. Over on the other side in the corner, gathered, and next thing we know, we hear a gunshot. Well, all the kids on the field had to get down in the dirt And, you know, when we thought things was cool, we had to call the game and everybody went their respective way. But these things do go on. We can't say that.
Right.
You know what redlining do? Yeah. Redlining don't begin. Redlining comes along after the effect. And redlining tells you basically where not to move, where your insurance is going to be high as heck for whatever the reason, and people stay away from the mirror. You guys know that.
Right, right.
Can I ask you some caller?
We know that.
Yes.
We know.
Let me ask you some caller. Now, you said liability and insurance is the reason why the Missouri National Guard should be used. Could you think of another reason outside of that why they should be used, or is that the only reason?
Well, because they are trained in those areas of discipline. Plus, they can carry weapons.
Okay.
And ain't nobody in the Nation of Islam going to be walking down the street with weapons. These people out here that's causing these crimes are dangerous people.
Exactly.
These ain't no everyday people you can pull over to the side and take a belt to. These folks are very dangerous people. Hey, Brother Solo, who works over there with Demetrius, his son, who was assistant football coach out at Chaminade, I believe it was. Hey, he got carjacked and they killed him.
The one that got killed, he was at Lindbergh, I think. Lindbergh or Oakville, one of them. He was out there.
Yeah, because somebody wanted his car. You had another case over there on Broadway, where a man and his two sons pulled up to that McDonald's right there at Love's gasoline station. He didn't like the way things looked. People standing outside gathering, so he bags up and pulls off the lot and going on down West Florissant by his business. Some people on that location got in their car and followed him, came upside of him, shot in the car and killed one of his sons. So people are dang. Why do the highway patrol the interstates around St. Louis? Because of shootings, random shootings. People work day long. And they don't have time to be coming out, growing a garden, and patrolling their neighborhood. They just don't have that kind of time. That's why they expect to have the type of services that they, you know, pay
from
for.
From the police.
Pay for
from
tax
the police
for it. Right, exactly. Yeah. And I agree with that. I just don't want the conversation to be to paint the black society as the criminal element of society. I totally reject that. But I understand what you're saying. The people that we're talking about is a small percentage, and they are dangerous, and the black community don't want to deal with them just as much as the larger society. Like, we want these people off the streets as well.
Oh, you're absolutely right, they do.
We want them off the streets as well. So it's not – but that's the problem when we – a lot of these conversations tend, in my opinion, to paint the entire black community as criminal. You know,
well,
I don't
know what goes on there.
I disagree with that myself. I don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
That you painting the entire black community. I mean, that's part of, and I've said this before, I'm gonna bring it up. See, that's that colonized mind. See, you can't just because we think that some other people gonna view us like that. That's on them. But I don't see it that way.
No. If other people are viewing us like that, that's our problem. We got to deal
picture.
With that.
Well, you know why come
picture.
Other people,
so,
you know
because,
why come
look,
they view that, Kevin, is because for some reason or another, and I can talk about this, but blacks don't do what you say, police their own communities in order to expel that type of riffraff. Because you got blacks in Spanish Lake that's beginning to flee that area. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because certain elements are moving into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a daughter that's got 5 acres out there in that area. I'm moving her for two reasons. One reason, because ain't nobody but her now, and she don't need all that stuff to be worrying about, but also because we want to get the most we can for the value of the property. Now I don't know. It could be buffalo. It could be seals or penguins or whoever. But we know you got to do the best, make out for the best that you possibly can. And then you want to get into the other reasons of why come things are not going on the way they are. It's a lot of reasons. I mean, your schools are the way they are for a lot of reasons.
Exactly.
And I agree with that principle. See, that principle is in charge of that building. If she sets standards on how people dress that come in, it's a dress code already for the students. So should parents be coming up in there looking like a hot mess, just came from the club?
No.
Right. Like I said, I
volunteer
agree.
I volunteer with Matthew Dickey on the RBI baseball. They travel to cities and play tournaments. Well, heck, one year, and Brother Merriweather up there, Matthew Dickey told this story, that they have a hotel for the kids to stay in, and the parents can too. Well, you had mullahs coming down the elevator with, what, two-piece bathing suits, nothing but a thong, and walking in front of all these young men, these boys on the bay. You're not supposed to do that.
Right.
No, you're not supposed to do that.
So no, we have to think the way it is. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was just gonna say the reason why it seems to me what Brother Kevin was saying, that we all get kind of painted the same way, is because, for instance, now this shooting happened at the Snooks in Madoo. Now there was the person who was shot was black, and they did accuse her of stealing or whatever, shoplifting. So she was shot by the police officer the other day. Now, I feel like when black people go in that store, they're going to look at me or another black person like, oh my gosh, here they come, they're going to steal this and that. Now, because we black, we may not do one another like that, but because they're outside of our community, they tend to criminalize
Lumpers
the whole black culture.
Together.
And now they're going to look at now. If I go to the Snooks because I'm black and that incident just happened, they're going to look at me like, okay, they're going to be watching me like thinking I'm going to be stealing because I'm
right.
black
and
I'm like female.
Exactly, like they do all the time. Why do you think black people get watched when we go into the malls and stuff?
Right.
Why do you think black people are the first ones to get watched when we go into the mall?
I wouldn't care.
Let me address what Ms. Foster said. The reason why you have to care is because if I'm there and they are looking at me like I'm a thief, then they're going to patrol me. Their actions towards me is going to be different. So I am in jeopardy of even probably getting shot or getting being accused of stealing. Just because in their head, we already know how the mind works. It can be tricky. If your mind can tell you something that's not true. So even
what
if
about
your
the
mind,
time?
You're like, okay, what?
What about the time when the people robbed the armored car there in the city? Remember that? There in the little shopping center.
Yeah,
I vaguely do. Yeah,
I remember that.
And then one of the girls went way out.
Went to Walmart
Manchester.
Or something.
Yeah,
right.
Had a roll of money.
Oh,
with the van around it. That was stupid.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was very stupid.
That was stupid.
Right, but see, here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's the thing. Mufasa, because we had this conversation all the time, you may know the difference between a black person and a quote-unquote nigga. You may know the difference. That doesn't mean the greater society knows the difference. And again, in my opinion, I think anything negative that a black person does, they lump us all into that category. So my thing is, as black people, we can't feed
right
into that narrative. That's
I'm
wrong.
Not feeding into it. That's wrong. So that means that that's them doing that.
Yeah, but who does that? That's the news media that does that.
If they do that, that's their fault that they do that. That's shame on them.
That's the
not,
new
that's
media.
Not shame, on them if they, shame on them if they
agreed.
Shoot and kill you too. But look, if that's what that's what they do, so you can't just take that nonchalant attitude like, I don't care what they think, because what they think affects you. What they think is going to can affect you. Okay, yeah, you're right. You definitely
you can.
Know
why
you
I
do,
can?
Apparently.
But you know why I can?
Yeah, I know why you can, you have the choice.
I don't even want to go in their store. I don't even want to go
that's
in their store
fine.
Anyway.
That's fine, but
you have a right to go into their store if you don't have any store.
Right.
You're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah,
but
you
I
have
also
a right
to the store. And I also have a right to not want to deal with them. And And I also
well, I
had
agree.
The right to not want to deal with them.
I agree with
so
that. You
I'm
do
not,
that right.
I don't want to go in there anyway. Now, if you choose to go there, then that's on you. Go in there, walk with your head up, and do your shopping, and come on out. If they're looking at you crazy, that's
okay.
Their fault.
Well, okay. Well, what about when it's stuff like just stuff like maybe your electric, getting you know calling just the electric company. Or just trying to get,
okay.
Trying to go rent somewhere, stuff like that. It doesn't just have to be isolated to something
right.
like a grocery store.
Go rent.
Know, like,
did y'all read in
the
paper?
The
you read in the paper where this white man built this house out of shipping containers over there in the Seward area. It's in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And he's been trying to get contractors
you know
to come by there and work on it, and they say we don't work in that area.
Yeah. It's one close to where I live where he used 9 containers and built a home. That may be the one you're talking about. By
yeah,
Crown Candy. But
one.
Yeah, it's in a you know, that area has its issues and he
See?
Was actually hiring people from the community but here's the but. He was actually hiring people from the community to help work on it. Like, these weren't
mm-hmm.
no big contractors or nothing. He was actually getting neighborhood people that I've actually talked to watch over it when it was in its early stages. He had them watching it, and then he also had people working on it that lived in our community. So, yeah, but like
And that's
saying,
a nice so, little idea there, the use containers
that's a nice idea because he just bought the lot and then basically just put the containers on it. So
mm-hmm.
now, you know, he's turned that into, you know, into a property or whatever.
Have you been inside and have an opportunity to look inside of it?
Very briefly, not since it's been done. They had an open house this past weekend, which I wasn't available to go. But, yeah, he said anytime I want to check it out, he said, he'll let me see it. But they have open houses periodically, I believe, on Saturdays, you know, so – I haven't looked at it since it's been this done, but when it first briefly opened, I kind of walked through it and seen it.
Well, look, Phil, I'm down here in Baton Rouge. I'm getting ready to go get some shrimp. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. The area where I'm in is a majority black. No problem at all with these young people. We got some people, some young people that's a part of the band, and they get together, and they be rocking, you know, and practicing that. After a certain time, they cut everything off, and it's quiet as heck.
That,
I mean,
that ties right into my point of what I said earlier. And certainly, it just don't have to be black community. There's some places in the city where I wouldn't want to be at, but I can go in a black community somewhere else, and I don't have these issues. So
that's what I'm saying.
Things
right.
need to be looked at like that. Quit saying that this.
Right.
Like, your mind is telling you that. People saying this is a black problem. Well, we know it's
no.
not a black problem.
Everybody
black,
don't
we,
know
we
that.
Because we, who cares?
Everybody
what
don't know
thinks?
That.
I don't
no,
care.
It
what
matters,
it's,
because,
it's not about.
But listen,
it's not
bro,
about. It's not about.
See y'all later.
Right. Bro, it matters what
finish.
They think because they're the ones
no,
in control of a lot of the institutions that we have
it
to frequent. So if we're criminalized, that
right.
looks, that
right,
looks
exactly.
bad on us. What do you think?
Now, let me tell
okay.
you something else. Let me tell you something. Now, me, myself, I support 100% black community if that's
right.
what black people want to do. But I don't support
mm-hmm.
when you have these groups that look at that and say something's wrong. Because there's a lot of them out there. That 24/7 is one. Y'all done heard of them. And there was another one
mm-hmm.
before then because they're the ones that talk to people in Normandy School District and those other ones to send their kids way out there to
Francis
Howell.
Send their kids out to Francis Howell, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if black folks or anybody else want to live amongst themselves and they
that
seek it out
fine.
Intentionally, it's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with that.
Nothing
All
wrong
black
with
schools. It's nothing wrong with this. Only thing that's wrong is that they don't get the support in the community to work with these young people in order to help
right.
them achieve what it is they need to achieve. And that's the main thing. But I'm totally
yes,
against
indeed.
People in these groups, these white groups in particular, that look at and try to break that up for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason. I like
exactly.
to take a bat and chase their butts away.
Right. And on that note, Colin, thank you for the call.
I'll see you guys later.
All right, we appreciate
peace,
you.
Bro.
Indeed. Let's get another problem. No. They know. Okay. The unity is a problem for them, but go ahead.
Okay. Area code 315-767. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey there, yeah. I've been listening.
Peace,
what's up, my brother?
Yeah, this is Inifine. Just listening. Trying to wrap my head around all this nonsense that a couple of the panelists are throwing out there.
Uh-oh. Which is? Elaborate.
So I'm going to start off with one thing that really irritates me every time to mention that there are too many guns that's causing all the crime. When you look at the city of Laredo, Texas, in 2016, it had the most guns per person of that city, you know, for that size of its city. You know how many murders it had in 2016? It had the most guns in a city. And the most people that have permits and the most people that carry guns every day in a city, they had 3 murders in 2016. The most.
Okay.
They have the most guns per capita in their city. So you can't blame it on people having guns. It's certain people having guns that don't know how to utilize guns properly or utilize guns properly in their aspect of how they want to use a gun. Because, yes, guns are used for killing people. And they use them. Those people who use them that way, that's what they use them for. They're used for protection and killing people. Protection to kill somebody. That's what they're made for. So you can't just say it's the guns. It's not the guns. It's the people who possess the guns. Because, again, Laredo, Texas, most guns per capita in its city, least crime.
Okay, what's the next issue?
Right, hold on, B. Let me respond to that real quick, because we have to look at the – okay, you pointed out Laredo. Let's look at America as a country. We're talking about more murders per capita than any country on this planet.
I'm talking about your city. I'm talking about your city, and I'm talking about your neighborhood in your city. So I'm bringing up like size, yes. Like size, city per city.
Right, so I'm expanding it to the entire country. When we look at countries around the world,
that's not responding to what I'm saying. You're just making up some other nonsense to spout out there. That's not answering what I'm saying.
I'm saying
it's not the guns. It's not the guns. It's the people who possess the guns. It's not the guns.
Okay,
what's the next issue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let him get all his issues out.
All right. And then the next thing I say, the National Guard. Bringing in the National Guard itself is comprised of people from the community that they're going to go in and work with. So when you bring in the National Guard, you're not bringing in the rest of America. You're bringing in the people of the community of Missouri and St. Louis specifically to deal with the areas, targeted areas that you want dealt with. It's not bringing in a bunch of just bringing in white supremacy. Now, if most of your people that joined the National Guard happen to be white, again, you need to look at your community and say, why aren't black people participating? Why aren't the black people in the National Guard participating to, you know, cover our government, to cover our nation? So if that's the case and you call National Guard and it's all white people, you got to look at yourselves and say, well, why aren't I in the National Guard? It's a choice. And you serve your nation or you don't.
Okay, what's your next issue?
And the next issue, I thought that I got a hold of that article, and I thought that that article was about just the kids. But it looks like, yeah, they're telling parents not to come into school looking a hot mess too. And that makes sense to me. Here where I'm at in El Paso, 70% of the schools have a dress code for the kids. And they also don't allow out – yeah, they don't have the parents. Parents, I guess it's not something that you have to tell people regularly. You don't have to tell grown-ups to dress up appropriate for the occasion. And when you do, it's not that person that's telling them that they have to do it. It's the person that has to be told that has the issue. So the issue isn't with the principal that says you need to dress appropriately to come to my school. It's the people that need to be told that have the, that you need to make issue with. What makes them think that they need to come out in the public or come out and represent that, that, you know, themselves that way in the community? They had no home training. And then if they see, and if the school sees that, they don't want these kids coming up like that too. This kids, the schools are trying to bring bring these children up to the best that they can with the little bit that the government gives them, even though I still think homeschooling is the best.
Right. Okay. All right.
Anything else,
yes,
Paul?
Indeed.
Any other issues?
Yeah, we're
going to
let you get it
have.
Off. We,
oh, yeah. One more thing.
When
you said, one more thing. Yeah, so you said you're going to go to the store, and because I'm black and somebody black stole something before me, now they're going to look at me. So let's take this. Let's take this example. Every time somebody comes up wearing red, they slap you in the hand. Now, occasionally, somebody wearing blue comes up and slaps you in the hand, but it's very rare. What's going to happen every time you see somebody wearing red?
You're going to be thinking they're going to slap
pull,
your hand.
You're going to pull that hand back, right? Oh, it's someone wearing red. I got to pull my hand back. So every time you get your hand slapped, it happens to be by someone wearing red. Not caring what color they are, not just... So every time your hand gets slapped, it was because somebody that was wearing red. And then occasionally somebody walking by in blue slapped your hand once or twice. What are you going to do when you see somebody wearing red pop up?
That's the point I just made.
The intelligence.
No,
the intelligence thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm just breaking it down. No, what you said was quite right, Rigel. What I was saying is because I don't think other parties understood what you were saying. A smart person will hide their hand whenever somebody walking by in red starts showing up, or either they're just an idiot and they like getting slapped in the hand.
Right.
So
yes,
that's
indeed.
Why I was telling Mufasa. That's why I was telling our co-host Mufasa. I'm sorry, Carlos. I didn't mean to cut you off. Was there anything else that you did? You have any issues or
no? I'm cool.
Or any points you want to make? Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Right.
I appreciate
right on,
that.
Carlos. We appreciate it. Yes, indeed.
But that's why I was telling you, Mufasa, that that's what happened. I know you said you don't care, but unfortunately, you don't have to care. But there is a reaction to that we do get some sort of reaction to what other black people do. Yes, you're right. You don't have to care, but the point I'm trying to highlight is that whether you care or not, other white people will treat us as if though we, the person in red that snapped their hand, just like the caller just made the point. That's just what happens. That's just the reality
that's
of it. But
priority.
You're right, you don't have to care. It is
yeah,
their priority,
right.
It becomes your priority if they react.
Do you look at every white person
like
this?
That's the thing about white supremacy. It belongs off. No, that's the whole
point.
That's why
it's not done like that.
It's unfair, right? That's why the system is unfair. This is the system.
That way. That's the point that we're making.
What's the
right.
point that we're making?
It don't happen that way, Mufasa. It
does
not happen that way. You're right. No, I don't. You just asked me a question. You asked me a question. Do
I
look at it like that? And I said, and my answer to that is, no, that's the point I'm making. And that's the point Brother
Kevin is trying to make. You don't
look
at every white person like that. That's what I was asking. I said, do you look at every white person as being a white supremacist?
No, I don't. But I think that's the point that we're trying to make. Because that's the point we're trying to make. Because their actions don't dictate their whole community, but
exactly.
A black person does something.
According to who?
The difference is we're in a system of white supremacy.
According to who, though?
The people who make the rules, my brother.
That's that colonized mind.
Okay, but
I don't
it's
have a
the
colonized
reality.
Mind.
I don't either.
Because y'all,
I don't have a colonized
what white
mind.
White people think. Y'all tripping over what white people think. Who cares if they saw somebody black
and they want to
put us in the
spot. You're taking it out of context.
Who cares?
Again, you are taking my point out of context. Because because it has apparently has nothing to do with your saying. It has my point is you taking it out of context. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if the white community condemns all black people for what a few blacks are doing, just like the caller just made a great point. If a person get hit in the hand by a person with red the majority of the time, then when they see a person in red, they're going to react in a certain way. So I know you, Mufasa, don't believe
I would love to break
that
down.
It's a white. I know you don't believe that there's a system that's over our head that dictates a lot of the rules that we're under.
But it is.
It is, and it doesn't have to. It overflows outside of grocery stores and things like that. You have like certain institutions, and we did. I know they've done plenty of studies when it comes to housing and just getting jobs and bank loans and things like that. We still get oppressed and treated differently because we
based
got
on
the
you
red
being
on.
Black.
Because we
right.
got the red on, just like what the caller just said. We got the red.
Which is
we
not
red.
Right and
they,
not fair, and,
they and
you
treat
did
us.
Not care, but that's what it is. So you don't have to
so
care,
know,
but
I,
it's
and,
the reality.
I don't think you, now if I'm understanding you correctly, I don't think you care, and you don't either believe that it's even true, though, because you probably disagree with that. But
what
that's
I'm trying
my
to
view.
Tell y'all is, well, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. The same way white people can come down in our community and walk around and do what the hell they want to do, if you choose to go to their community, even though Shaniqua was up in there stealing and got shot at that snitch, if you still choose to take your black self out there, then walk up there and do your shopping with your head up high. Who cares what they think? They obviously don't care about what we think. When they and like I said, they have a history of being white supremacists and slave masters. But when they come prowling through our hood, they don't care. So I give them the same in return. Shaniqua was up there stealing. She got an altercation. Now, if I come to your store and if you want to label me as that, then so be it. That's on you. But if I choose to come to that store, I'm going to come there. I'm going to walk through there, and you can look and stare all you want. I'm going to get what I got to get, and I'm going to ride out. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but what happens
that's
when...
That's what we would
when
do.
That, right, exactly. But the concern is when it goes beyond just them simply just looking, when they start to take action, which they do quite often. We see it and hear about
right.
it all the time. Yeah, what happens when
like
they
what?
Do more than just look and stare at you?
What
like
if you walking through
that?
What
if they
you could be walking
what
through
they
that?
Actually accuse
you
of stealing?
Be like,
what happens
Mr.
they actually
Montoya,
pull a gun
out,
and accuse you of stealing and
of
shoot
stealing.
You because you got on red? So at some point you do
maybe,
have to
you shouldn't have been there.
Care about what they thinking.
That's the risk you take
you,
when you win.
You do.
That's the risk you
well,
took.
Well, yeah,
when
we take risks all
sit.
The time just living.
Okay.
Yeah, just
living.
So that's
the risk you took.
Door.
That's the
so,
risk
yeah.
you took when you went to dayhood. The same
no,
way
that's
they
the
come
risk you take stepping outside
take
your door.
Risk, the same way they come now hood and take risks is the same thing. First change on a robbery. So if you choose to go out to their community and do that, know that it is what it is. If you feel that they don't want you out there, then why go out there anyway? But if you choose
because
to go
just
out
like
there,
you said, they come
to
our community. Say they not just like you just acknowledged that
look,
they come to our community too. So it ain't just
yeah,
exactly.
being out there.
And,
it's just being
but the,
they
don't
being black and
right, you
right
know
here
why
in
they
society
don't
because
care?
They
be,
walking around but, everywhere. So they can
right.
be in our community, but we're going to choose not to go to theirs. But they're going to still
look,
be in ours, and we still subject
exactly.
to the same risk.
And here go the,
because
here
they
go
still
the
looking
difference.
At us like we got on all
here's
rate.
The difference,
so y'all,
period, point.
So y'all
point.
Scared when
this
y'all go
it.
Out there. Is that what y'all telling me? Y'all scared when y'all
no.
go out
No. That's
so
not what
I'm saying.
So why are we even making an issue of it then? That's what I'm saying.
No, we're making an issue of it.
That's what I'm getting
bro.
At. Who cares what they think?
Listen.
If you're not scared to walk in North St. Louis, if you're not scared to walk through North St. Louis streets, don't be scared to go out there to look at it.
I'm not, and let me sum it up like this.
He's changing the subject, and I'm gonna go down this road with him.
The reason what we're saying is, we're concerned about the racial profiling that is put up on all black people, and the reason why I care is because. But listen though, it's not even about that because they control the institutions, right? So if they call the police. The police is going to believe who over who. You don't think the police is going to believe a white snitch worker that Sam Montoya is stealing over you?
Who they
going to
believe? If you're scared, don't go out there.
He don't believe in that. So what I'm saying is they
have the backing of institutions and government organizations that we don't have. This is why this is a problem.
It don't stop you from going out there.
Of course not. But I am aware of the risk that I'm taking.
But it don't stop you from going out there. So like I said, who cares?
Because I gotta walk out my front door every day. I got to walk out the front door every day. That's a risk I'm taking being in a white supremacist society.
Okay, so you're taking a risk just walking out your door in the black hood, going out to quote-unquote white land. You're taking a risk anyway. So who cares if Shanika was out there stealing and now all of a sudden, oh, it may look bad. White people are going to be looking at all of us bad. Who cares what they think? If they stupid enough and foolish enough to think that because Shanika was out there stealing, that all of us is some thieves, man, that's on them. And I ain't got time to worry about what they thinking. That's on you too, brother.
Right, but you're neglecting the fact because they control these police institutions and the judicial system. So if anything goes down and it even goes to court, you're going to get bad end of the stick, my brother, no matter what you say, whether you care or not.
That's even if I want to go out there. I may want to stay amongst my own community, stay and be in my own community. I think that's a smart thing.
And guess what? It's some white supremacists and blackface, as we now know. So we know the devil has created Frankenstein.
So the risk is wherever you go. So, like I said, just because Becky is stupid enough to think that Shanika was up in there stealing, that all black people steal, that's on her dumb white self. And I'm going to go up in that store if I choose and go up in there and go shopping. That's all I'm saying. That's on her if she thinks all. I don't care if she agrees.
That is.
Say all black people is like that. That's on her.
Agree.
That's her ignorance. That is her ignorance.
That is true. What you're saying is true, my brother. But still.
Well, I want to we only have one more minute. Yeah, I want to have it. Y'all want to finish our last words? Did y'all say our last words?
No, I'm done. I finished my last words. I'm going to leave it there, and we'll continue on another topic.
Mufasa, you want to say your last word?
Yes. Don't be scared. The so-called white man.
Oh, agree.
Is that it?
Definitely.
I'm
done.
Okay. And don't be foolish and unwise to believe that what they think about you don't matter, because to all the people to all the people that are out there who don't believe what they think about us don't matter, then I would advise you to go back and look at slavery. When they thought everybody was dumb and everybody was stupid, how they treated everybody when that wasn't even the case.
Right.
So at some point, you have to be concerned with what they think as a whole. If we talking individual, okay, yeah, that's fine. But we talking about as a whole, if they give every black person the same tag. They're going to treat us the same way. We already know what they think about us because the same way we, you know how we got here. We already know the history. I don't no need to even go back and revisit that. We know the history. You know
right.
what they did to black people. You know what they thought about us then. They still think that. So
all of them?
I think at some point,
the ones
it
in power, so it don't matter.
An individual. Right. It should matter to an individual if they're going to give every black person the red tag. So tune in next week. We got some great shows coming up. Got a special guest
yes,
coming
indeed.
Up. And
oh, yeah.
look forward to building with us some more. So check us out next week, next Sunday,
yay.
6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn up. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your new point. From head to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers. Of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. Deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Like we talking. Collective minds.